Like we always do, of course. Today is Thursday, January 3rd, 2013. And you know what? It's all good, y'all. It's all good. Year is starting off in a wonderful, wonderful way. Hey, I want to say hello to A-Nav out there in the chat room. I know you got that under control. Okay. And all my other listeners out there, thank you for joining me today. Now, if you want to join in the conversation, just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Sign in to your local social media site and join me in a chat room. Or just go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. And leave me a comment there, one or two. Hey, either way, I'm always looking at all of them. So you want to chat with me? Hey, those are the ways you can do it. Now, today, y'all, I tell you, we have a great show planned for you. And the title of today's show is New Year's Resolutions. You know, are we making realistic goals as far as our New Year's resolutions? And I think it's something we need to talk about. You know, a lot of us out there, we make these resolutions and, oh, wow. You know, and some of us, I don't think we really know what we're doing. You know, because, I mean, each year, you know, we set these so-called goals. You know, and we dead on it. We plan to achieve. Oh, we going to do it this year. This year, I'm going to do this thing. We're going to make it happen. But sometimes, you know, I think we don't realize that some of these goals aren't really, really as realistic as we would like to think they are. Now, a lot of times we're just out there selling that lip service, you know, making it sound good just in case somebody happens to ask me, then yes, I made me a New Year's resolution, and it is what it's going to be, and this is it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And about 3 days later, you know, you just done forgot about whatever you were supposed to be doing this year and then fell back into the old regular same habits. You know? So, and in a lot of cases, that's because you have set unrealistic goals as far as your New Year's resolution. Well, we're going to get a little further into that in a little bit. But, you know, as we always do before we get really into our subject, you know, we got to talk about things that's going on around the country. and you know, because there are some things out there that are happening that I am sure that a lot of you would like to know about. That, you know, some of you at work and you can't really get to it, but I'll help you figure that out. Now, anyway, let's see. We got a movie coming out January the 11th called Zero Dark Thirty. And apparently this film is about the raid to get Bin Laden, or whatever his name, Bin Laden. Yeah, you know the man with the beard over there. Well, apparently, some members of our Senate is not happy with some of the things that were depicted in the movie itself, i.e. they said there's a scene that basically shows torture, you know, of the enemy to get information out of that person. Well, guess what, y'all? Why? You know, Senate Intelligence Committee Chairwoman Senator Dianne Feinstein, Michigan Senator Carl Levin, and Chairman of the Senate Arms Service Committee, John McCain. You all ever notice how John McCain is coming up in a lot of stuff that needs to be investigated lately? Yeah. Haven't y'all noticed that? Every time something needs to be investigated, his name is in there. Somebody need to tell him he lost the race for president, so he need to go on and do what he got to do and leave stuff alone now. But anyway, the problem with this movie apparently is Ms. Feinstein expressed outrage over scenes that imply enhanced interrogations. Now, once again, you know, enhanced interrogations of CIA detainees that supposedly gave the right the information necessary to catch Bin Laden. And here's my thought on this, y'all. Once again, it goes to show how so-called politically correct we have become in this great nation of ours. So now everything is enhanced. Listen to what I'm saying now, enhanced interrogations. Now that sounds real fancy, doesn't it? That sounds like it's just wow. You know, they really did some things. You know, one thing they probably did was beat them up a little bit and slap them around. And is there something wrong with that? Hell, this is, this man, look, if that's the case, and I'm not advocating anything illegal, per se. However, if that was what was necessary to catch this person that caused so much pain, destruction, and even death in our country, to find him and take him out, then so be it. Why are we investigating that? Why? Okay, so what? They tortured them a little bit. I'm gonna say the word is they don't want you to use. They tortured them a little bit. Who cares? Heck, it's not like when our service men and women get caught, our civilians get caught over there, they're not tortured. Everybody does not believe in the Geneva Convention. So if that's what it takes for us to show what really happened, then so be it. Let it be shown. Quit trying to hide so goddamn much. It's not a secret. But I forgot, you know, a lot of them coming up for re-election, so, you know, they have to do the right thing. But you know what? Let the truth be told. If that's what happened, that is what happened. I'm not upset with that. I'm not. Why are they wasting our time, our taxpayer dollars, worrying about a movie? It's a movie. It is a what? M-O-V-I-E. Movie. Why are we investigating something that was on a movie? It's a movie. Everyone knows when they have bits of military scenes and things like that, there's someone from the military there to say how to make sure it's realistic, but not so realistic that we're giving away things. So why are we investigating this? Why? Because apparently they have nothing else to do with their dang on time. Well, you know what? Get over it. Get over it. And here's the part that really pisses me off, because they did the same thing with Roger Clemens. They did the same thing with Barry Bonds, McGuire, even Lance Armstrong. Now, why are we going? Why are we wasting money on these type of things? There are more serious things out there that we need to be dealing with besides what the heck is implied in a movie. And the word is implied. It's not said that actually happened. It's implied. Okay. So what is the issue? Come on, y'all. Come on, senators and the people. And come on. Let's be real about this. Get over that. That's not even worth spending time on. Either you liked the movie or you didn't. It's just that simple. Move on. And if anybody should know what really goes on, John McCain done, being that he was a prisoner of war. So what? What is the issue? Okay? That's all I'm saying, y'all. That's all I'm saying. let's see. What else is going on? President Obama has signed the fiscal cliff legislation into law. Now, I may not be the brightest person in the world, especially when it comes to this fiscal cliff thing and exactly what it entails besides taxes going up and the rich getting, you know, taxed a little bit more than the normal Joe. But here's my question. Now, the way for what, the last month, last month or so, all we have been hearing is about the fiscal cliff, the fiscal cliff. We are headed toward the fiscal cliff. We're going to fall off. And what was the deal? Was it really as serious as they tried to make it to be, or did the media just hype it up to scare everybody? I think the media just hyped a lot of it up to scare everybody. I really do. And it really didn't make much sense. Because once they passed it, you know, they can always go back and change and set everything back the right way retroactively. So what was the big stink about this thing? I think the media, as always, just blew a lot of things up out of proportion that didn't need to be blown up out of proportion. Okay, like I said, that's just my opinion on what I'm talking about. That's just my opinion, y'all. Y'all may have some, you know, disagree with me. That's fine. That's fine. I understand that. But it is what it is in my eyesight. It's a bunch of hogwash. And once we realize it, hey, everything will be better. I see you out there, P. Yankee. I'll get to you in a minute. I see you in the queue. I'll get to you in a minute. I'll let you in and have your peace. Okay, let's see. And the last thing I want to talk about before we get talking about our topic here. Let's see. There's a 2,750-year-old temple that was discovered in Israel. And I guess the archaeologists believe it was the remains of a temple that is nearly 3,000 years old and once home to a ritual cult. And they think it's an unusual and striking find in that there are hardly any remains of ritual buildings of the period of Judea at the time of the first temple. Let's see. It's located to the west of Jerusalem. And let's see what else they had going on. There's a couple of things they found. A cache of sacred vessels estimated to be 2,700 years old. Among the other finds that has yielded pottery figurines of men. One of them bearded, whose significance is still unknown. So, you know, I thought that was interesting, you know, being that we've been talking about a whole lot these last couple of weeks. And, it makes for some interesting reading, you know. So, if y'all want to know about that, I don't know what happened here. If y'all want to know more about that, I'm going to paste the link in the chat room. And y'all can get that out for yourself. Okay, now that I have gotten all that out, and we have traveled around the world, per se, in a hot minute, let's go ahead and bring Mr. P. Yankee. Bring Mr. P. Yankee on the air, and let's see what he has to say today. All right, good afternoon, Mr. P. Yankee. How are you doing?
Hello, Eric. How my audio sound today?
Your audio sounds quite well today. You worked on it a little bit.
I was on another show and they were doing so much hooping and hollering. I guess they took up all the band space. But how realistic for New Year?
Okay. You know what? I don't know what we did, but now you sound like you're underwater.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
So how realistic are New Year's resolutions?
Yes, sir. How realistic are New Year's resolutions? You know, and here's the reason why I asked that question. Because as I mentioned at the start of the show, every year, you know, that's the first thing somebody will ask you, well, what do you plan for the New Year's resolution? What's your New Year's resolution? What you want to do? You know, and I have a problem because I really don't make them myself. And if I do, I keep them to myself. But as we always say, before we go to talking about actually, you know, get into it, let's talk about what a resolution is. And a New Year's resolution is a commitment that a person makes to one or more personal goals, projects, or the reforming of a habit. A key element to New Year's resolutions that sets it apart from other resolutions is that it is made in anticipation of the new year and new beginnings. People committing themselves to a New Year's resolution generally plan to do so for the whole following year. This lifestyle change is generally interpreted as advantageous. Okay? And definitions, the state or quality of being resolute, firm, determination, a resolving to do something, a course of action determined or decided on. So, you know, now that we have said all those great things, let's talk about this thing. Are New Year's resolutions unrealistic for a lot of us? Is that what we did? Is that what we're setting? You know.
Well, in the United States, since you know, there's other ethnic groups whose New Year ends in different times, like the one that I'm familiar with ends in August. I mean, I don't know if they're making resolutions, but I think they're good things to set goals for yourself, and just like a plan. We do a lot of resolutions based on social and emotion, but seemingly not enough based on business and business plans.
Okay. It sounds like some like you're underwater again. A-Now says, I wonder if people get disappointed in themselves if they don't accomplish their set goals for their resolution. And, you know, I really don't think they do, A-Now. A lot of them don't. But I have another call in queue, so let me bring them on air. I just lost P. Yankee, so hopefully he'll call back in. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I was just trying to get some stats on what percentage of resolutions are kept or fail. And I've heard as much as 75% to 90%, somewhere in that range, fail.
Right.
First of all, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I think it's foolish. And why wait for a year to do something that you realize needs correcting now? So it's usually it was connected with a weight loss or something of that nature, something that I guess was more identifiable to most people. But to, you know, it's a waste of time. I think the evidence is fairly clear that it's a waste of time. If you are a person that you know, is progressive, you make decisions as they are needed. You see, you know, well, that's it. That's it. I was listening to that useless show that comes on before yours, and it's Tracy's show. And they talk about a lot of issues there, but there's no resolve to do a damn thing. I was listening. Now, she blocked me from the show. I can't come on because I called her what she was, what she is. But she said they needed I believe it was $150,000 to start a credit union, right? And I've gone on the show a couple of times, like I say, and I told her about the broke-ass people that were on her show. You've got to have money to make things happen. You can have the best ideas there are, but if you don't have money to implement them or know someone who does, your ideas are, what do they call it, DOA, dead on arrival. So I listened to all these people that she says that she's connected with, and these people won't raise the money for her. But now, I wouldn't do it either. Let me just be candid. I would, and I certainly could do it, but I would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would also say is this thing of blackness. And a lot of the men on that show are very weak. They're scared of her. They won't stand up to her. Except maybe for Matu. But one of the things that if you realize, I asked Matu once upon a time, I said, what did it define black or something of that nature? What does it mean to be black? And he couldn't do it. He could not define what was black. Now, I know what's black in America because I study American history. It's people who have a legacy or some sort of tangential connection to people that were former slaves. That's what it historically meant to be black in America, in gist. And so the thing is that, but there's no collective ideology among black people. I watch black people all the time, and you know, except for the quote-unquote talented 10th, and they operate on another level, not on a black level. They don't operate on a black level.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing. Black people, for the most part, have no agenda. I think it was Tyreek that asked on his show, he asked black people, what do you want from Obama? And none of them knew. I mean, people who would, you know, quote unquote, identify themselves as black. But this thing on, you know, New Year's resolution, it should just be you do what's necessary to improve your life, period. You know, what if it's mid-year or a quarter of the year? You know how it's divided in the financial sectors.
Right.
And you should, again, you should make changes, which are what resolutions are. Make changes as they are necessary. I mean, I see it sort of like a jet plane taking off. You know, it charts a course. It's going to rise to a certain altitude where it flies best, and it maintains that course. Now, if something happens, whatever it is, a volcano erupts, it gets excessively stormy or weather gets choppy, it moves according to, you know, its plan, what best facilitates its goal. And so that's the way I see it. I've never subscribed to this notion of New Year's resolutions. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing with setting a course where you make plans, tentative plans on a monthly, semi-monthly, you know, quarterly, whatever, semi-annual basis. You know, obviously that's done. But just to say, you know, something magical about a New Year's resolution, it's not. And that's why most people don't keep it, because they're not serious about what they're doing anyway. So those would be my opinings regarding
And those are some outstanding points, and I agree with you 255%. I think that's, you know what, I really believe that many people, they don't even give it any thought until the end of the year.
Well,
you
yeah,
know,
that's
which,
the whole
which is
point.
Sad.
And
you know, that's not a great thing to be doing.
Yeah, the New Year's resolutions are usually a lump all for people who aren't going to do a damn thing.
It's
just a convenient thing for people to say to act as if they're going to do something that they really have no intention of doing anyway. Just do it.
Well.
I mean, that Nike slogan, I love that slogan. And I think that's a picture of a comet, by the way. And you know Comet does it three ways to Sunday. It moves. It hauls ass.
Right.
And so the thing is just do it. Do it. Do it. And the other thing is this, that's very important. This is so important. You got me on a soapbox here. Get around people who are successful, you idiot, you. I mean, I go on different programs. I got in a fight with a dumb pastor the other night, and that doesn't often happen, but it did, because church people tend to be very pharisaical. They're extremely brutal and bestial people. That's who Jesus fought the most with. But when you tell them a plan, now this guy had been a former drug user, which I thought afterwards, you know, and I kind of broke off the discussion. I said, well, you know, he's probably mentally impaired, and he's leading people, but he didn't want to acknowledge the power of money. And so I just shared with him that, you know, we have to do things in the necessary order, consistent with your point here. And but he didn't want to acknowledge. He did not want to acknowledge truth. And how you are supposed to, you know, approach things. There's a field of science called synecdoche, and it's called critical problem stating and solving, identifying the problem. And then, like I was about to say, is to hang around people who are successful. I would often, if the person is a good author and knows their material, I would prefer to be around them than to read their books. Now, I like reading books because I've run into some authors who are, you know, they're not good examples of what's in their book. But as it is generally, if an author is competent, they are the best source. So swallow your damn pride, because it's not doing you any good anyway, and hang around successful people. And that's one of the biggest problems of unsuccessful people. Talking about a New Year's resolution, let this be your damn New Year's resolution. Hang around people who have done it, who are doing it. F what you think. What you think isn't worth a shit, because it doesn't work. It hasn't worked, and it's not going to work. Hang around people who are what you call the personification of what it is you want to do, and kiss their ass a little bit. You follow me?
Oh, I follow you.
Yeah, because they aren't going, yeah, you know, you're a military man, and you understand the hierarchical nature of things. You understand
right.
that. I mean, you saw how the hierarchy worked.
Right.
But that's what people need to do. Hang around people who've already done it or are doing it. They can tell you how to do it, and they can encourage and inspire you. And that's what most of us need anyway. We need. I don't care how good someone is at something. Being human, you need a little bit of motivation from time to time. But hang around people who do it. Most people, and I hear women say this a lot of times, well, I need time alone. No, you don't, you idiot. All you do is come out with that time alone being more of a fool. I've seen very few people go into their cocoon, as it were, and come out better. Why? Because they go into the cocoon with the same foolishness that they had been living. So all that foolishness did was marinate and ferment. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. I'm following you.
I watch people all the time who say, now, I have nothing wrong with being alone, but you have to understand, you know, the nature of being alone. If you are a fool and are alone, you're a fool alone. That's all. And so what one needs to do, you know, oftentimes so many things could be rectified just connecting with the right people. I always want to connect with the right people. Now, of course, I've done it enough that I know how to, you know, have a measure of autonomy. So I can read a book or, you know, research it on the Internet, or I can do it pretty much myself. But nevertheless, when I meet like-minded progressive people, I'm encouraged, period.
Outstanding. And you know what? That is a very, very good point you bring up, Mr. Solution, because, you know, being in the military, you're right. And we used to say sometimes you have to play the game. If you want to get ahead, you know, you just have to play the game. It's just that simple. You know, that's part of life. And, you know, if you see something someone else is doing and you kind of want to do it and you see it's working for them, you don't have to copy them, exactly what they're doing, but give them some ideas. You know, if something's working, you may have to tweak it a little bit, but at least you know that what they're doing is working and that's where you want to go. That's the direction you want to go. Use them to get where you want to go. It's simple. But I really don't think people, the average person, when they do the New Year's resolution, they're not thinking that far ahead. They're thinking more of let's say, on the moment, like you say, you know, they want to lose weight, or they're going to start going to the gym, little, you know, simple things like that, which they know they're not going to keep at all. You know,
well, some of them do. My corporate year ends April the 30th. April the 15th, I forget you. April the 30th. And I have until by October 3rd, I have to come up with something to show the Internal Revenue Service. So on April the 30th, I started making my resolution of what I'm going to do in order to keep myself in the 1% that everybody complains about. And that's the benefit of having a corporation. You have plenty of time to make maneuvers this way and that way in order to prevent from paying more taxes than you really want to. And those resolutions that I earnestly keep. Because they are, if you don't keep them, the consequences is very dire. And people that make personal resolutions with themselves should stop being dishonest with themselves, be more truthful, and keep those resolutions, that is, that they are made in all honesty.
Yeah, here's, as you finish, Bianchi. Yeah, he's really choppy there for some reason. Is that the Obama phone? I know you guys say that, so you got here is a statistic here. And understand, look, a statistic is nothing more than a survey. A lot of people are afraid of statistics, but what they don't realize, everything since creation is a mathematical is a mathematical expression, because it's a measurement. Now, can some measurements be wrong? Yes. And if they are wrong, then they stand to be corrected. But we should not criticize measurements, ipso facto, because we're taking a measurement. When you say something isn't true, you are measuring it. Or if you change it in any way, you are measuring it. So just understand that. Anyway, it says, what percentage of people fail the resolutions they make on New Year's Day? According to surveys, only 8% of Americans successfully achieve their New Year's resolutions. So 92% are not kept. 80% of those who make New Year's resolutions, get this now, have failed by January 20th of that year.
Wow. So that's not a whole lot of time, is it? Think about it.
I mean, so that shows you right there, and I was in the correct range, you know, that it's, and I was just recalling from memory initially, but it's even worse than my memory recalled. If this stat is right, and I challenge people. People who say stats aren't right, you know what I tell them? And sometimes it pisses me off. I say, get your ass in gear and get me some stats that you trust. That's all. If these are wrong, get your lazy ass in gear and do some research and produce some that are acceptable.
I wonder what they say when they come to go to the doctor and they get their vital signs and blood pressure. And,
okay, you sound like you're underwater again, Bianchi.
Yeah, so you know, the point is only 8%, and most of 80% have failed by January 20th, 1/12. Of so they're useless. Basically, New Year's resolutions, for all intents and purposes, are useless to the vast majority of people, or the overwhelming majority of people that utter them. They're liars.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they're more liars to themselves than anyone else, I guess. Okay, Bianchi, he must be trying to come back in. Okay. You know, and I agree with you. My theory is at least every, I guess, if you're going to use financial statement, every quarter, you should be at least, you know, reevaluating yourself and where you are, instead of just waiting till the end of the year to say, okay, this is when I'm going to do this. Because once you do that, as you say, by January 20th, you know, you done forgot what you wanted to do. But if you do it throughout the year, it's you have a better chance of completing whatever you decided you needed to do for that year.
All right, practice makes perfect, as they say.
Correct.
Yeah. I like what Robert Kiyosaki. He you know, Robert gets some good ideas in this area, and I reread his book when I was taking my train trip. I just reviewed his book, and I like his attitude of he's always seeking new formulae. To improve upon what he does, his existing behavior. In other words, he's always looking for new formulae to improve whatever he's doing.
And I'm sure he's very successful in that because he's always switching, correct?
Yeah, he's tuning up. Well, anybody, look, there are just a few steps to success.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few steps to success. And a person who is successful is going to be looking for ideas to maintain and improve that success. It's a tune-up. You know, you're always looking to tune things up. And now a lot of people are threatened by that. Like this group I was discussing the other night, and the amazing thing, this was a church group, and they were vicious. Now, I don't mind taking on a worthy battle. I'm your huckleberry. I love it. But I'll back out of a useless and stupid fight. You will see me, I will veer off from that. But I was trying to share with these dummies, and I told them what spirituality is. Because a lot of people see spirituality as this mystical thing. No, it's not. It's truth. It's truth. You laugh. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says what? Prove everything. Hold steadfastly to that which is good. So right there, God is telling you, prove the damn thing. Don't just believe it. Prove it. And prove it means getting the evidence for something or against it in context. That's what that means.
Wow.
Getting the evidence in context. Now, what if you're wrong? No problem. You're human. If you have the methodology of proving things and new evidence is presented to you, you will revise your position based upon that new testable evidence. So a lot of times when the guys talk to me, now I know Joe kind of chided me yesterday. That was a good conversation. I had dinner last night with the assistant to a financial advisor, and this person was really sharp. By the way, she revised that 1 year's salary. She said 6 months because she said to me, if you lost your current employment, how long would it take for you to get reemployed? And I said, well, no more than 2 months. Now, that's me. Some people, obviously, they extended the unemployment compensation. I think they extended it for another year. So some people are chronically employed, depending on what occupation they had and so on and so forth. But she said, well, if it would only take you 2 months, then you have an additional four-month cushion. But I told her, with all due respect, I think the consensus is it is a year now. You should have a year's salary, or you should be working on it. So that's something that people should make as a New Year's resolution, not to give advice until they've reached those three criteria. All your bills are current. You have 1 year's salary. And she admitted that she didn't, by the way, which could have been her bias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could have been the impetus for her bias. But nevertheless, this person is a hard worker. She'll work multiple jobs, and we even made a joke about the Jamaicans. How many? I got 5 jobs, man. I got 7 jobs, man. But yeah, I've worked multiple jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can only do that for about, I say, 6 months maximum. Now, some people do it longer, but you want to avoid burnout. Fun working a double or triple job. You know, that should be about the limit, because you should have reached a goal by that particular time.
That is true. That is true. Well, let me ask you a question then. I'm probably about to open a can of worms, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I can.
I'm fired up. Open it.
When it comes to resolutions, okay, let's take the case of, let's say, Joe, for instance, who really doesn't believe, well, Stanley, you know, who has really no religious backing whatsoever, let him tell it. So could it be said that their goals or resolutions are, how can I put this, more attainable than the so-called super religious individual?
Wait a minute. Repeat that.
Yeah. Okay, basically what I'm saying is, let's say we have one individual that's not religious, the other person that is religious. Both
right.
of them set, say they're going to set goals for, I mean, the year-end resolutions. So
okay.
Here's my question. Could it be said that the so-called religious people, Bible thumpers or whatever you want to call them, set more unrealistic goals based on things that they believe that's really not true, or over self-confidence, I guess you can say. They're overconfident compared to someone like
that. Exactly. That can be true. And let me tell you the division I believe exists. A lot of times religious people believe in nothingness. It's really idol worship more than it is. And non-religious people who can be moral, by the way, they can be, and often are, they can be more focused than the religious people, absolutely. By the way, though, and I'll just give you an alert, both Joe and Stanley have religious leanings. Now, they're asking honest questions, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's what the test is about, is to at least they're asking questions. And that's a good thing because I think there are good questions. And where I suggest we all go to that NOVA, pbs.org, go to the NOVA link, and
yeah.
look up Professor Brian Greene. Last name Greene. He did some very, very good films on the latest scientific development, whether it's black holes, quarks, and quantum mechanics, or whether you're dealing with multiverses, gravities, both repulsion and attraction properties. Actually, they said that gravity had the reverse effect. It had a repelling effect set up by the Big Bang. But they are asking great questions because they say, what happened before the Big Bang? What caused the Big Bang? Because, you know, one of the basis of science is one of the laws of science is cause and effect, and also the law of inertia. And those laws are related. And so I think Stan and Joe – They also have the technical data. They have both the written and the film information. So it can satisfy the most discriminating palate, as it were. So that's where I suggest they go for the latest in the scientific development is at pbs.org and go to the NOVA series and look up Professor Brian Greene. So at any rate, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but for different reasons. And I think, see, Stanley is a businessman and Joe is a businessman. So, see, that's where, and I don't think either one of those people are, now Stanley is on Tracy's show, but she treats him like a child. Now, I get in disputes with Stanley, but I recognize Stanley's business acumen. Stanley has a business acumen, and you have to respect entrepreneurs because they are the engines of the country. Like I was telling a person, I think I asked this pastor, and I think this helped piss him off at me, is I asked him, is not the best thing one can do for a poor person, for the poor, is not be one of them. Now, he begrudgingly said yes, but he didn't like that. He didn't like me coming at that issue that way because that's not the way most people deal with the poor. Because my position is teach a man how to fish as opposed to giving him a fish. He's not limited by the fish that I give him if he knows how to fish, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All of that coincides. All of that. That's like a bicycle bicycle spokes. They come to a center point. And most truth comes to a center point.
Wow. I understand that. Let's see, we got something coming out of the chat room from Loving Light. Hey, hello,
The chat room rat. But this may be, allow me to make a New Year's resolution. Now, I'm going to go and read Loving Light's, post, and I don't want to accuse her of being a chat room rat, but allow me to, I'm going to read it. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, here we said, if what people have accumulated is the standard, then what about getting advice from drug dealers, pimps, fraudsters, screechers, and people who had experience can teach a thing or two?
They can teach. They all have something to relate to in their own will. By the way, I had to put some oil in my Obama phone.
Oh, okay. You got it working now?
I think so.
That's funny. You put some oil in the phone?
Yeah, he said he put some oil in there.
That's funny as hell.
Okay, so what you got to say on the subject, Pianki?
You want to dissect this. Let's see what she said. Well, see, first of all, from drug dealers, pimps, fraudsters, okay, these are people who are doing things not only that are illegal but also immoral. And, okay, what would the advice be? And how are we to take that advice?
Well, you would have to look at the business practices. That's the advice. And, of course, they probably would tell you not to get involved in the business. But, you know, farmers would tell you the same thing. You're crazy to get involved in this business.
Well, does she mean former, F-O-R-M-E-R? Does she mean former people of this nature or is people who are currently practicing this behavior? Unreformed. Is she talking about unreformed drug dealers, pimps, fraudsters? And then she says, screechers? What is
that?
Like a snitch?
What? I guess. I have no idea what a
scripture
is.
Yeah,
you know,
at any rate, is she talking about reformed these people or practicing these people?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, she is, what she's saying does make some sense, because once I was working with a young high school girl, I think she was about 16, maybe 17 at the time, and beginning to go straight. So I set up a meeting with her, her mother, and a prostitute so that the prostitute could tell her that the path that she was taking, where it would lead her. And it did help.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting point you made there, Pianki. And, yeah, I guess I can see where that would. In a lot of cases, but not every case. You know what I mean? But how does that, relate to resolutions, though? You know, I guess it would be that just to say I'm not going to be like that person that I just met. I guess that could fit in that way. You think?
Are you going to listen to what, people like myself and her mother was telling her?
Okay. All right. Is that another one of the big things about making a resolution and sticking with it? And as Ms. Solution say, finding someone that's successful, but are you actually going to listen to them to help you understand what it takes to get to where you want to be? So it does listening play a big part of that?
Well, you know, successful can be conjecture. Would you consider a prostitute successful, even though she can give good advice to a young girl on the verge about dropping out of school?
Well, if you really think about it, okay. See, we would have to separate prostitute. Are we talking about one of the normal, everyday street-walking prostitutes, or are we talking about a high-end call girl? You know, which is an expensive prostitute.
She was a street prostitute.
Okay. Well, depends on how she is financially. I mean, if she's making money financially to a point to where she's set, then maybe you want to listen, but not actually go about it doing it her way. You know, maybe she has, you know, she's taking the money. Now, this, you know, me just thinking outside here. Maybe she's taking the money, you know, putting it away in bonds or stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's something you wouldn't know unless she told you. You know, and there's some of them that I didn't, that may be doing that.
Well, this one I knew had been shot and a lot of other things.
Well, I don't think
in her life.
Okay.
And, you know, so she has some life experiences that you could share.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, and, you know, I knew her at the time that she was in school, and, she, you know, she chose to go the path that this other young lady was about ready to go.
Okay. Well, I can see where that would help if the individual listened. You know, I think that's another key portion of it. Are you going to listen to the information that's been given to you to help you succeed?
But, you know, police departments usually bring in former burglars to find out what they can do to stop burglaries in the community.
Yeah. Oh, the FBI does the same thing. How you think they catch a lot of these high-end criminals? The same way. But are we really, I mean, but is that, I don't know if is that's relating to what we're really talking about.
Well, that isn't, no, but, you know, on the thing with resolutions, it's just like if you can't believe in yourself, then who can you believe in? You can't make a promise with yourself and keep it. Then how are you going to make promise with somebody else and keep it?
That's a good point. Okay, Love and Light says a screecher is a screaming preacher. Okay. And then she also says black men talk a lot, but I have found that black men really don't support other black men in terms of mentoring and support and advice. For the most part, they are too competitive with each other.
Well, I think that's convoluted, you know. And Loving Light, unless Loving Light is a deaf mute, which I have nothing against those people, why doesn't she get her ass on the phone? And let's hear her voice. Because a lot of things she says makes no sense. We don't understand what she's talking about. Now, a lot of black men, or men, period, have a divided interest with women. Women tends to be their focus. And because the women do not have, can't redirect the men, because most of, and the Proverbs call them silly women, and also Paul and Timothy calls them silly women. That's one of the reasons that men don't get along as well as they should is because of women.
Hmm. Okay, boy, we got the chat room going now for sure. They say some people have to work and can't get on the phone. Oh, okay. I am multitasking and no interest in speaking with solutions. Too disrespectful. Okay.
Yeah, like she go with her.
You know,
wait a minute, I don't really want to talk to her either. I just want to hear, rather than her being a chat room rat and sniping in the, you know, in the new year, sniping in the chat room, get her lazy ass on the phone. That's all. And she can talk to you all. I don't necessarily want to talk to her either.
But, you know, Eric, I kind of have to disagree with her because, you know, we have a follow support center here in my city that's ran by her brother. And that support center works on behalf and works with young fathers that's going through all sorts of problems. They come in, you know, periodically on scheduled time, and there's men there. I have sat in on the conversation. He's my grandson. When he was about 15, say maybe 13, he used to sit in. And he would even ask and give advice to the men that was there being interviewed on issues from child support, having trouble finding a job, you know, and letting them know of opportunities that exist. So these were fathers, men, black men, that were supporting the issues that fathers brought to the table. I guess you can say they were sort of dysfunctional because they weren't performing up to their total standards or their total expectations.
You know,
I see the 100 Black Men and offshoots of it. I think they do a lot of community work. I also see Black and Hispanic and white men when I'm cycling around and to different parks and recreation centers. So I think Love and Light needs to come out of this damn chat room and get out into the real world. And I agree, a lot of what she says is not true. But at the same time, I do stand by a lot of men waste their time dealing with, you know, useless women. And that's where a lot of their time is wasted and taken up. But there are still a lot of men out there, as Pianchi stated, that are doing very good things.
So can it be said that, I guess, I mean, she's more in the thing of looking at a crab in a barrel type of scenario than actually getting out there and taking a look at what's really going on today as far as Black men?
You mean Love and Light's lack of doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Love and Light is just a, you know, what do they say, a gadfly on the horse's ass.
Okay. Let's see. I got a text. That's only one city. How many are there across the U.S.? Well, I'm sure that we have more than just one city that's doing wonderful things. But the question is, are we going to get out there? And I mean, do we get out there and find? You know, do we? You know, or are they? Are we just sitting? You know, idle and saying, well, there's no one out there. There's nothing out there for young Black men. But before we get off the subject too far, here we're gonna go back to the resolution things. Supreme, now you know better than that, Supreme. You know better than that. Get on the phone or just cut it out. But anyway, you know, resolutions. Let's talk about resolutions, because I don't know, we done got kind of off, but where is all this at in when it comes to resolutions? You know, let's bring it back to where we need to be. So please, please, please help me with this.
You mean resolutions, you know, for what?
Yeah, just, you know, years ago I heard that most resolutions, not the most, but quite a few along the lines of weight reduction.
More oil.
Like you scratching. Yeah, you need some more oil. Sound like you're doing a scratch right now.
You probably need that light sweet oil.
You know, in the past, I have heard that a lot of resolution was based on the lines of weight reduction coming off the holiday seasons.
Oh, okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to tell you, when it comes to things like that, weight reduction coming off the you know, especially if somebody didn't use the holiday season to pig out, you know, that's just being irresponsible. I guess
a
that's
pig.
A great word to say. Okay.
A pig.
A pig. You
a
know,
pig.
Because... You know, just you should be practicing weight control year round. I mean, I'm not saying that you should, you know, dieting, because there's a difference between dieting and actually controlling your weight. Because dieting really is not controlling your weight. It's more or less trying to cram. What's it called? What we used to call it back in the day? Cramming for a test. So, you know, I don't think that is a realistic goal. I mean, it can't be, because most people are not going to stick with it anyway. As soon as the year is over with, as soon as, you know, New Year's come, as the statistics say, Mr. Solution just gave, you know, by the 20th, you know, they forgot about it, and they're eating anything and everything they want to eat anyway. So that's definitely not a good thing to do. A-Now says, I think if you change one thing at a time, you can set realistic goals for yourself. That's true, but do you wait till the end of the year to do it, or shouldn't you do that as the year goes on, change one thing at a time?
Now, Eric, I thought you were going somewhere with that. You said resolutions, but you didn't say to what. Now, I have ideas. You know the three areas that I promote, and I call those your middle. I mean, I've seen para and quadriplegics, and that's unfortunate, but I've never seen anyone missing their middle. So I call the areas of financial, relationship, and health the middle. That's the engine of people, of individuals, a community, or society. Those three must be in balance and must be healthy for there to be health, period. So that's a person's health, their finances, and their relationships. Those three areas are indispensable. Now, of course, love and light probably has the chat. The great chat rat probably has some exceptions to those, because I'm sure she hasn't thought it through. But that won't stop her quick-witted tongue.
Let's see. Anam says, "I think you should follow up with your resolutions daily. It helps to write a journal of your daily goals down."
Yeah, that's fine. I think, look here, let me just break into this. The most important area is going to be working with someone who's already doing what you've done, someone who's already successful. That's going to cause you to have to break down in a way you wouldn't do otherwise. You're going to have to open up in a way you would not have to do otherwise. So that's what I would say. You've got to connect with someone who's already doing it, because chances are, you can't do it alone, and you won't do it alone.
Yeah, a person in pursuit of their resolution has to be well organized.
So you have to be well organized?
Correct.
Well, yeah, you can be organized to a degree, and obviously, but I think even in working out, it's easier to work out, I mean, with somebody. You can go further. One can go further. So I think even there, if we want to talk about working out, and I think you're right, usually resolutions related to their over indulging during the holiday months. But nevertheless, I think that working with someone is better.
Yeah, I mean, well, depends on the person. I guess the normal individual, yes, because, you know, they may need, as you say, may need that extra motivation or push. You know, personally, I mean, I like working out alone myself. I get more done that way.
Yeah, it depends on the goal, too. For instance, if you're trying to save or accumulate a monetary value at some period during the year or before the next end of the year, but like Ms. Lucian said, that if you're working out, then, you know, that has to be a scheduled regimen. You have to allow time for your body to recover. If you have an injury, you have to allow time for that, and you have to be consistent with it. If not, then your body would get completely out of sync.
Yeah, you should do some exercise every day.
Every day. I mean,
yeah, every day. There should be some exercise. And watching what you eat. Pretty much a person can eat whatever they want. It's just the portions.
Eat
a balance. Just eat small portions. I started eating out of a small dish, a small saucer. And what you do, your body, I think, functions better when you eat multiple meals, like sometimes 3 to 4 meals, but small meals. Eat the small, balanced meals, and then work out.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, and that's one of the biggest things I tell people when it comes to, you know, working out and losing weight. I say you don't have to change your whole diet. Just slow down on what you eat. You know, the portions. Cut the portions down. You know, you'd be surprised of you know, how much progress you really do make, you know, by doing that, instead of going out here and joining all these, because most people, they join a club, you know, a gym or what have you, they have no intention of going, because they always
more
have
debt.
Some type of excuse, huh?
More debt.
Yeah, more debt.
A lot
right.
of the fast food places now, which I think this is a good thing, they have to post the caloric content of their product, and I think that helps give the diet conscious person or health conscious person a little bit better ideas as to, what they're ingesting.
Well, some people might look at those as a number of pennies it costs to pay for the meal. But, you know, Eric, I fast 40 days 4 times a year every solstice.
Buddy Fiyaki.
So, and in my 40-day fast, you know, which started this one I'm on now, started December 21st. A person has to pretty much, you know, have due diligence and steadfast in order for it to work.
Well, you know what, Pianki, here's something I'm glad you said that. You know, people have to understand, regardless of what you set your resolution for, say in this case is weight loss, you have to understand there are going to be times when you may veer off the path, but that's not a reason to just stop. You understand? So instead of just stopping, you know, realize, you know, admit, okay, you know, I'm strayed a little bit, but come on back and get started all over again. I think that's another way you can keep a resolution going, a New Year's resolution going, if you are that determined to do it. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, just like when you get your check, you should pay yourself first. Not only does that make your bank account look better, but if at some point in time you seek to have a loan, well, the lending institution is going to look at those records and see how consistent you are. And if they see 52 times that you have made deposits to yourself in within a year, that you do have some sort of discipline about yourself.
Outstanding. I couldn't say that better myself. Discipline for yourself. Discipline yourself. That is, and you know what? That is the key. I think that's another key point you just made. Discipline for yourself.
And if you can't demonstrate a repetitive discipline toward yourself, how in the world are you ever going to satisfy the trust in a lender to new money and expect you to pay them back on time?
Wow. Okay. All right. See, now you're taking it a little bit deep there. You're taking it a little bit deep. Oh, Mr. Solution, you there? What you think about all that?
Oh yeah. I'm here. What did Pianki say? Oh, the discipline?
Yes.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Discipline is going to be necessary. And discipline goes back to that disciple. That's what discipline means. You are a disciple. And so I think, absolutely, I think of people. But we should go with intentions, goals and intentions, because there's no such thing as race, as it were. So people should work with people that have a like-mindedness, period.
Yeah, and intentions is very, 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 very important. You know, what is the intention of your resolution, that which you are setting forward? Goals and intention is better than unexpected results.
Say that again, Pianki. I'm sorry. I think you went out on me in the end for a moment.
Goals and intentions are much better than unexpected results. And especially uncalculated results.
And see, this is the thing. I look at a had you finished, Pianki?
Yes.
Okay. I look at a person's personal orientation. Now, Pianki, I believe, is a business owner. I've heard him say that. Joe is. Stanley is. I am. I don't know if you are, Eric. But see, when we come on a show, we're not talking like most people are. We're speaking a different language. And on most things, we agree. Joe will often say he agrees with me about 98%. And I found out where that 2% is. That 2% is in religion primarily, or I would say truth regarding metaphysics. Because religion can be a bunch of crap. It often is. A lot of idol worship. But let's just say the metaphysical area of and moral area of the higher self, and it was particularly with God. Particularly, I think that's where. But we're working on it. We're talking about it, so that's a good thing. But the thing of it is, when we start talking to women, we aren't talking the way the morons that you usually entertain are talking. We're speaking a different language. And instead of you fighting with us and arguing, just shut up and listen, because you don't know what you're talking about. The average woman, when I'm, does not know what she's talking about. She doesn't have the experience. She doesn't have the exposure. And I know this. And most of them are not logical. There's no logic in what they say. Now, of course, this is not all of them, but the vast majority of them, and present companies such as Love and Light included. If her ass had to join the military and didn't have the power of the law to back her up in any irresponsible sexual decision that she made, she would be an entirely different person.
Wow. And then, and there she goes.
Wait, let me just tell you, I know where to hit them where reality is, and they can't deal with that. They don't know how to deal with that. They haven't been introduced to it. You think about it. If a woman was not supported by the government in excluding her from an important duty that every citizen should have, joining with the Selective Service, having to sign up, and, of course, not having these, you know, supreme reproductive rights, women would be speaking a different language. They would be better people because they would have more accountability.
Okay, let's see here.
Now, notice right. what Love and Light said. Now, I know she's talking out of her rectum most of the time, but she said what I just said is delusion. She said that what I just said is... Now, that proves my point right there.
Okay, let's see. A-Nail says, I believe that discipline is important, but your attitude is important. You can be your own worst enemy. Yeah, that is true. That is so true. And we witness it sometime right here on the show. Now, some people's attitude, they just, oh, Lord, just something else. So that can be it, too. Now she says, your little business cannot even compete financially with theirs, so you need to...
But wait a minute. Let me respond to that. See, okay. She's talking as a vagina to multimillionaires who see her as nothing. They know what I'm saying is true. Because if they're men, they had an obligation to register for the Selective Service. And so they know that she is a woman... and that she is not operating based on merit. So they already know that. It's just that she's ignorant of it. And she's talking about they're white and successful. Now, she attempted to call me and Uncle Tom just now. Now, notice this turnabout. Now, here she is lauding white successful men. But yet I'm supposed to be an Uncle Tom.
I have never been called the names you have done. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I see now. Okay, Love and Light. Let's get off the personal kick. But you know what? Let's see, we have 47 minutes left. Okay. And I think we basically come to the conclusion that, you know, in order to stay with a resolution, you have to you have to actually be you actually have to be disciplined, and it's better if you find somebody to work with than to try and do it yourself if you don't have that discipline. Could that be a good way of saying that? Because it's something else I want to mention real fast as a taste, like a taste of what we're going to be talking about next week. Let's see. Living Light, they are evidently not disrespecting and fight. They admire black intelligent women. You know what, Living Light? You know, I've been trying to stay off that kick with you, but I'm going to tell you, you know, what you're talking about right now is, doesn't make any sense because I admire black intelligent women also. So,
Anybody would. But she's not one of them. She's deluded. She's talking about delusion. She is deluded. Now, you notice A-Nav. Now, A-Nav and I have not always agreed, but notice here. She says, Solution, you do have a very good point. Of course, the points I make as a general rule are irrefutable. Why? Because I've already done the background. I've already done my homework. And I know how to do research.
Right, because they know you are tight.
Blown up her tailpipe by some men that she fancies, you know, as superior. And they're just looking at her as a bed wench or a potential bed wench.
Solution to the point about the military was really a good point. And you know what? That's where I was going there with that for a moment. And me and Ms. Solution have talked about this already one time before. You know, my belief is everybody should be required to do at least 2 years in the service. Any young person coming out of school, they're not going to college, hey, they should be required to.
No, I disagree with that.
No, I mean, how are you going to disagree with that?
All these young people, I didn't go to the military.
All these people, well, you're an exception to the rule, Bianca, but look at what we got going on walking in our streets right now. You know, we got all these
military,
kids running around here. The military what?
And I forget what period it was. It wasn't.
You're not
going to. Right, it wasn't.
Go ahead. The military.
It wasn't during Vietnam. It was after that when military put a limit on who they would take. So people that's walking around like you just mentioned wouldn't be taken today anyway.
Not necessarily. Now what they have put a limit on recently is single parents. Now they have put a limit on that. And because it was causing, and here's the reason why they did that. You know, so people won't be talking, well, they discriminate. No, this is what was happening. You have a lot of single parents in the military, okay? Now, and they go in, you know, thinking one thing, but when it's time to deploy, all of a sudden, they want to use that single parenting as an excuse.
As an escape.
Right.
So, as an excuse not to be deployed. And I read... Boy, that's right. They can't do that. So that's right. They are a blight on any community.
Right.
And the military
wasn't
accepting that. Go ahead, Eric.
Correct. So that's why they did right now.
Love and Light talks about negotiating $1 million, but that's not your $1 million, you idiot. You own a couple of $1 million, then come back and talk to me. Don't tell me about negotiating someone's $1 million. Anyway, go ahead, Eric. This lady is an idiot. A pompous.
Okay. But Pianki, and the reason why I'm saying is because we have kids running around here now. They need some kind of direction. See what I'm saying? They, if they're not getting at home, let them go in the military and deal with somebody like me every day. They get some kind of direction, dang it. I guarantee that one.
But what skills are they going to bring to the highly technological military that they have today?
That's the beautiful part. They don't have to bring anything. They'll get taught while they're in there.
Yeah, but even to learn, you have to have some skills, Eric.
Don't think
and each chairman don't know how to read and write.
We taught them how to do that, too. Trust me, I had a guy came in from New York. He couldn't even drive a car. He had never driven a car. By the time I left Korea, he was driving a standard stick deuce and a half. So don't tell me that. I mean, it can be done. It can be done. You know, that's the excuse everybody want to use. You know, well, they don't. You got to have some. No, you don't.
Well, I got a better idea. The methodology that you're using in the military to teach him, why not put this in the schools?
I'm going to tell you why. Because everybody is so dang on politically touchy about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to actually get down and do the work that it's going to take to make it happen.
Well, I agree with you
once they go in the military, hands off then, because you belong to Sergeant Jackson.
Oh, I agree with you there, Eric, but you understand my premise.
Yeah, I understand it. Hold on, I got somebody else want to come in. Hold on. good afternoon, you on Let's Talk. What's
all right,
on?
Now the party can begin. What's the topic about? I'm here, so I'm going to create all the controversy you need. Anybody doesn't like it, I don't care. How's that?
Hey, what's going on there, Joe? The Titan is in the house.
Yeah, the topic is, did we run all the Mayan calendar soothsayers out of the community?
Hey, Pinky.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead.
I doubt if there were any Mayan soothsayers. I saw a cartoon which kind of sums it up, where in the cartoon, the Mayan calendar was on a circular stone. And one guy's holding up the stone, and the other guy's looking at it with a hammer. He says, damn, we ran out of room. So that sums up the Mayan predictions in the Mayan calendar. They just ran out of room, and people are misinterpreting it like they misinterpret everything else.
Okay. All right. Okay. And you know what? I'm glad, Anav, I'm glad you brought that up.
Anav is here? Oh.
Hey, Pianki. And here's the other thing. You know, in the military, you know, I'm going to tell you how other countries, other ethnicities do. They come and join our military. You know, get training as doctors and, all right, Joe, you got an Obama phone, too.
All right, I'll fix it. Jesus.
And anyway, and you know what? They're not even citizens. They have so long to become a citizen, but they're going to get all this great training and that our military gives them, and once they get out, what they do? They go back to their country or they open their own business or a doctor's office or whatever, and, you know, we complain about, well, there's nothing for us to do because we're not requiring our own kids to go and get what they can get free. They can go to school in the military. The Army will pay for it. You know what I'm saying? The Army will pay for it. They have a job, a guaranteed check. What is the problem?
Actually, I was sharing this the other day, and it's a cultural setback not to require women to register for the Selective Service. And, Pianki, you missed the point on that just now. All males, I was recently reading one of the requirements for student aid at UCLA or the UCLA system. And one of the first things they check for all males, have you registered for the Selective Service? And see, when we talk about not discriminating based on gender, that is the biggest discrimination there is. And additionally, it allows women to not be merit-based, because they don't have the same responsibility. They don't have to think outside of themselves. See, when a man registers for the military, now a lot of men join the military as a result of having to register, and that dovetails with what Eric is saying. And I'm a proponent of that, especially for people who don't have a wealthy background, but even if they do have a wealthy background, they should still be required to register. But if they don't have a wealthy background, they can't be penalized because they have the money to pay anyway. They can go to school, you know, based on their own money. But men who are not wealthy cannot enjoy the benefits of society unless they register for the Selective Service. And that's every male, even males who are mentally and physically disabled, have to register with the Selective Service. Women don't. Now, women are suing to their credit, and Eric, I think you read this article. Women are suing in order to, because it's hurting their job performance. That is, women who are in the military, their job performance is being hurt, and their career advancement is being hurt. So it's a very selfish reason that women are now suing to be allowed in combat positions. And even if it's done backdoor, I'm okay with it. But I want women to have the same responsibilities as men do, since they have the same legal rights that men do. And no one could disagree with that with a double-digit IQ.
What's the topic about the benefits of the military?
Well, no, we were talking about resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and we were talking about ways to arrive at those resolutions, practical ways to arrive at those resolutions.
Oh, and the military is one of them?
Well, the military would be one way of fairness, because we were talking about connecting with people who are already successful, and that would be the motivation and also the encouragement to actually perform a resolution.
Okay.
But I think the group had agreed that one should set resolutions methods of improving all the time, not just, you know, annually. It can be done monthly, quarterly, you know, semi-annually, so on
and
so forth.
Well, this isn't a nation that believes in progress. If it was, we'd be well in advance of what we so-called are enjoying now. Well in advance. Do you know that if we actually use the brains that we're supposed to have, that by the first, let's say the first 200 years after the Industrial Revolution, we would have already been out there in outer space like in Star Trek?
Well, yeah, if you listen to what they were saying back in the day when I was going to school, yeah. You know, they had us living in space and with the jets like the Jetsons, you know, with the dome and,
But men or women, we're not that bright. We're not, you know, we're not as bright as we think we are.
Well, that's true. That's certainly true.
I mean, we can't even argue with that one.
Well, that's because the human being intellect is still evolving.
Well, I hope so, because what I see around me is that we're just going downhill.
But it reaches plateaus, then it stalls it for a while, then it takes off again.
Do you know that when I was in college, I think one of my professors told me that the IQ, the intelligence of the Homo sapien, it hadn't increased in like 10,000 years. And do you know that when back in the end, no, I think it was like not even Cro-Magnon times, beyond that, when we were supposedly just savages coming out of the jungle, I'm not talking about the primordial ooze, but we've been around for a while, you know, like, for example, the natives in Central America or in South America. It took them, I can't believe that I was told this. I'm just going to throw this out. It took years before a person could realize that the club that they were wielding and the rock that they were using, trying to get, you know, fire and trying to break open coconuts and everything, it took them many years before they could combine the club and the rock to make like a tomahawk. They couldn't fathom the idea at the time. How they got together to do that, I don't know.
Well, you know, civilization didn't, you know, when it began to migrate, it didn't begin to develop all at the same level at one time. What spurs on, and I don't know the word I want to use, but it's the contact. When you come in contact with another society, a lot rubs off. Just from your observation and just from you experiencing some of the everyday rigors of that society, a lot rubs off to change your ideas and your perspectives, and also help to create your innovation, to spur your innovation.
Well, yeah, but that's learning from what they've done, and you can remember it, and, you know, the more intelligent people of society can then grow from that, can use that to become more innovative. But in terms of us, let's say, for example, I'm sure everybody here has read Lord of the Flies and remember how the kids, you know, were, their crash landed on an island. If those kids were even younger and they had no clue as to what was going on around them other than the fact that they saw cars and saw planes and everything, I doubt if after having been on the island for 50 years that they would even know how to create a paperclip. Or how they could ever become as innovative as, let's say, a child nowadays, or in any culture. Let's say he's 9 years old, and then he goes to school, and then he's in school for about 3 or 4 years, and he learns precepts from textbooks. He's learned it because he learned it. He didn't discover it. He didn't find out on his own how to put A and B together to form C. So what I'm saying is that we can learn, you know, but we don't innovate. We don't create. We're not intelligent. We're not as intelligent as we think we are.
Well, it's not, if you really look at it, a small segment of society is the ones that do the innovating, and it's not usually the same ones all the time, because people reach a level of comfort. And it's those who are anxious and those who are dissatisfied with their present condition that we would take where the previous left off with the innovation and take it to another level. And that's just something about human beings, that things just work that way.
I agree, that's
one of the reasons behind America wanting to bring other ethnic groups into her country and expose them to what we have reached and seemingly came to a standstill on. You see a lot of innovations coming out of new arrivals, new scientists from other countries that take, you know, what we have reached and take it a step further than you know, it goes back and forth like that.
Well, those are scientists, Panky. Those are scientists who already have a predisposition to taking a look at new knowledge and then using their curiosity to try to come up with something innovative. But what about the immigrants that come over here? They've been here for 20 years, and they still can't speak any more than 50 words of English.
Well, you know how they have developed their intellect the way it is now, then they did it in their own language. You know, I couldn't learn a new language. I married a lady that speaks a language that there's no way in the world I could learn that language. But my grandson, when he's there, you send him outside in the morning, he comes back in the afternoon, he's speaking part of the language.
Well, it may be easier for the kids, but the same thing. If I went over to Germany, I would learn German, fluent German in a year, because I would make sure I did.
And you're a special type of guy, Joe. We always have told you that.
Well, I mean, any, you know what, though? Here's the thing about that. Any military guy that goes to any of the foreign places, yeah, we learn the language. The thing is, we don't practice it enough to remember a lot of it. We know a lot of it when we hear it. But, yeah, we can speak the language. It just depends, you know. It's just one of those things to where we don't do it so often. Like those foreign countries, you know, they're required to speak English, you know, speak their language. And then there's a third language that a lot of them speak. So, I mean, as far as that, we the only country that really, you know, that really just speak one basic language. Of course, our language is the language of the world. Let everybody tell it English because everybody speaks English. But the point is, you know, maybe we do need to evolve a little bit more as Americans than anything else.
And, you know, parts of the brain that you use to speak English may not be is not being taxed. As part of the brain that's not being taxed when you speak English that you would be called upon when you speak another language.
Yeah, but nevertheless, people, you know, it's apparently it seems harder for adults to learn a language, of course, than children, because children are in, their brains are developing. But
yeah,
even so, yeah, I mean, if you're over in a country, if you're there for 10 years and all you know are 50 words, and you don't even care to know anymore, and you don't grasp the importance of assimilating, I call that stupidity.
Or America.
Yeah, or America. Hold on, I got Supreme on the line. Let me bring him in. All right, Supreme, you're on the air. What's going on, man?
Happy Breast Family. Can you hear everyone? Can you hear everyone? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you for right now anyway.
Yeah, it's still breaking up, though.
You know, my line goes on. You know, my line goes. So, I was listening. Eric said something that made me want to say, oh, yes, as Americans, we could all learn something, as he said. Yes, and I feel that America...
You cut everybody off, Supreme.
What?
Everybody went off momentarily. Is anyone else there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
Y'all, in that, I feel that America should stop going up in other people's countries, and it's time for people to tell, you know, us in Britain, we should be telling our government to stop the wars, and the American government stop the doing the wars, and they'd stand up against these things, and the black man should police the streets and start to lead the youth them in line.
Okay. All right, you breaking up real bad, and I think that's a good thing right now.
That's not with Blog Talk, man. That ain't everybody can't be messed up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Supreme, every time Supreme call in on that certain line, he always like that.
Yeah, that's got to be his line.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's right. I mean, people have been telling Americans for years, you know, stop being like Nazi Germany. What do? Well, I'm not going to say we. What does the American government do? It you just cast a deaf ear to everybody's pleas. They just say, well, we're going to do what we're going to do because we have the power to do it.
Well, you know, it goes a little bit deeper than that, too, Joe, and I'm sure you recognize is that the enticement that goes on toward our politician is just so overburdensome. And look at these representatives and these senators. If you serve, what did you say that they serve one day, they're entitled to their salary for the rest of their life.
But Perry kind of rescinded that. He was corrected by Kat last night about that. He may even be correct. I don't know, but I don't think it's true that, you know. But I know the point you're getting at. Once they reach a certain cap, they get that cap for the rest of their life, no matter how they qualify for it. Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Senators and congressmen in Congress who get these exorbitant salaries, and then after they retire, they continue on with the salaries either at 90%, 80%, or maybe even full salary, I don't know, depending upon which article you read.
Yeah,
and I think that's after one term. I think they only have to serve one term.
Yeah,
so they get
term.
Super compensated.
Yeah, it's only one term.
Yeah, so they are enticed. They are, I mean, they have a lot of, they have a focus which is not necessarily the focus of the people that sent them there. Unless they're coming from a place like up in the Northeast, like your Massachusetts or your Connecticut, where, you know, you have the shipyards and so on and so on and so on. But your representatives that are being sent by constituents that's concerns of social issues, you hardly ever see them working on behalf of those constituents, because the issues that they work on has a lot to do with the corporate wants and corporate desires.
Well, most politicians are bought and paid for by special interest groups. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is the average persons, and you can see a good example of it here in the chat room, they spend all their time fighting each other. So as they spend time fighting each other, it's kind of like the predator. The predator watches the prey fight each other, and then it eats both of them.
That's what you're being used to do.
Is that Supreme again?
I said, yeah. Oh, I can't.
All right. Supreme, you know, I can't hear you. We can't hear you, Supreme.
Power, you really got to get, you know, a different line than those being run by hamsters.
Hey, one of the reasons America allows so much immigration is because most Americans top out with reference to class, except the lower classes. The lower middle, and upper middle and upper classes, they stop producing kids. They prefer to have stuff than a bunch of kids because kids are, I mean, they are other things too, but they are liabilities. And the Department of Agriculture has even chronicled how much it costs to raise a child from 0 to 18. And so, you know, a lot of the other immigrant groups will have more kids. And realize a lot of the first world countries are dying because they're not producing enough children to overcome the death rate. And so immigration is one way that a nation satisfies the increase in their population when their indigenous people are not producing.
Well, that's about the stupidest way for a nation to do that.
But it's the way they did. It's the way they look at Japan. Look at the average age of people in Japan. If it weren't for immigrants, particularly Mexican. Both illegal, America would pretty much be declining in terms of its birth
rate. I don't know
death.
About that, Rich. I think the birth rate is, the fertility rate is pretty much, it's not dying like, if it's dying, it's dying the same way the sun is dying.
If you look at most of us, Joe, we don't have kids of maybe one or two at the most, and that's it.
But we don't need more than that. If we need more than that, then we'll get to 2 kids or 2.3 kids because those birth rates will probably go up and down according to what the culture feels is cool at the particular time. But
no,
try to replace,
no, it has to do we
but you
value
can't replace,
stuff over
you can't,
kids.
You can't replace the natural citizens with immigrants because immigrants do not assimilate.
Well, not, well, they used to didn't. At one time they did, and with the EEOC morphing into what it has to make. See, because language, more than anything else, is a socializer. It is a connector. So when you allow people to come in with the multiple languages and to balkanize, you create a non-homogeneous.
Yeah, it's not homogeneous. It's multiculturalism, and it's killing any nation that allows it.
Well, it depends on how the America is a country of multiculturalism. It's how that multiculturalism is handled, because most people learn to speak English. That is not a requirement now. And language is the great divider, by the way.
Yeah, but you're making my point, though.
Yeah, but you know what it is, too, Joe. I don't know what city you live in. But, yeah, America is multicultural. But you have a multicultural balkanization, like Mr. Solution said. Here in my city, you have the Italian area. You have the 80,000 Bosnian refugees. They have formed almost like a little nation in South St. Louis, where they have the stores, the shop, they have the taxi cab services that, basically don't leave out of that area.
So, yeah, and if it's... Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with your Mexicans.
A lot of them don't even want to speak English. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make. A lot of immigrants now, because I have about four or five or six or seven different immigrants in my community. It's mainly an immigrant community. When the older ones, the ones who first got here,
you cut out, Joe, repeat that.
Huh?
You cut out, repeat that.
No, he didn't cut out that time. I think all of us have a problem.
Yeah, right now, yeah. The thing is, I have a multicultural community. The thing is, the older people, they can't speak English because, again, if you're an adult, you don't want to speak. Their kids have assimilated. That's the whole thing. There is no longer the assimilation process.
Because the government doesn't promote it.
For whatever reason, that's another reason then that to take a look at the government and say, you know what, all the crap that's happening to us, it can't be by accident. It has to be by design.
The country is being torn apart, ultimately, with the debt and with the borrowing.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with groups coagulating, but when they coagulate to groups, that's a potential time bomb. That's what that is, because groups become more suspicious of each other, and they'll end up being at civil war. Maybe that's down the road, but maybe not so far. But the government has really hamstrung itself in not empowering itself to say, we're going to have one language, or not promoting other languages on the order of the national language.
Right.
See? So that language issue is a very... And by the way, this same issue occurred, I believe, in Canada, which caused a great ruckus, as it were. But the language of a country is very, very important, and I think it's obviously English is the international, as Eric, I think, alluded to, English is the international aviation and international business language. So all business people speak English, all aviators, of commercial aircraft speak English, unless some of you guys know an update to that. That was the latest. And so English is a very powerful language, by the way. English is actually a scientific language juxtaposed to a romantic language. So the morphology of English is very, very powerful.
Well, it should be the world's language. England conquered 90% of the world.
But that's the thing. The government has become very tepid regarding is promoting the language as it should. And again, this balkanization will ultimately, kill you. It'll ultimately devour you.
Yeah, but there ain't no way that you can stop that.
That's not true.
No, that's not true, Pierre. Huh? Yeah.
No, we could stop it, because I notice when I call corporations now, they'll have on there, if you speak English, they'll have, if you speak Spanish, press 1.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, you go through your airport, your sign.
I'm like, what? What the hell is this? English should be the language. See, corporations.
That's right. They should learn English, not us to learn any other language.
That's right.
Yeah, but Joe, if you want to do business with them, they're going to have to. They gonna be able to set some stipulations. Now, you've been to an airport lately and look at the signage and different. Matter of fact,
that's the whole point. That's the whole point, Panky. We
and
in America, we should make English number one. We should make it the official language. And then people, when they come over here, they have to know. They got to speak it. Their kids got to speak it. Because as Rich is talking about, it's the great divider and it's the great connector. When you're speaking the same language and you're born in that particular country, you're going to grow up liking the culture of that country. As opposed to when I walk down the street and I'm going to tell you something. The Arab immigrants, they're the best ones that I found. Out of the Greeks, the Italians, the Irish, and the rest of them. They are intelligent when they come over here, and they make very, very good merchants. But the thing is when you walk down the street and you see them in their restaurants and they're smoking the hookah pipes and all that kind, what's on TV? Never an American program. But that's for the adults, so I can understand that. But the thing is that if their kids are not assimilating, those kids are still going to have a divide in their head.
That's right. That's right.
My kids was born here in America, and I don't let them look at American TV.
Well, that's not bad. But, you know, the kids still know about football and baseball and, you know, and American apple pie and all that. Even though they've been taught the same shit that everybody else has in the public educational system, is an homogenous shit. When you have people from Mexico, for example, La Raza over there in L.A. and other parts of California, forget about it. What do they want to do? They want to annex New Mexico, Arizona, and California. And the government's and not only is the government allowing that, how about across the borders of, I think it's Arizona, the 80-mile stretch is held still today by the drug cartel. What
now, see, the
about?
Thing, and that's the sorry-ass government's fault, because, see, look, the Indians, both the Indians, American Indians, and La Raza, Mexicans, they are making a specific claim, along with Mexico, by the way. They're saying that the way the land, Texas, California, and maybe Arizona, the way that land was gotten was they're claiming it was illegal. So they're making a different argument than immigrants who just come here and refuse to, at least I see it this way. They're making a different argument than immigrants who just come here and balkanize. The La Raza group, our land was stolen from us and we want it back.
But you know,
be addressed.
A lot of immigrants that you're talking about are not U.S. citizens. A lot of them just legal aliens.
Illegal aliens, you mean?
Yeah, plenty.
No, a lot of them are legal aliens. I'm talking about from a legal standpoint.
Okay, legal aliens, right. Okay.
I don't even want legal aliens. In the schools, we have close to 250,000 of transfer students and immigrant students in the schools. Who cares? So what? I don't want legal immigrants here either because the nation is dying. Our growth is our population growth is growing. But it's not being good for the natural resources. It's not being good for the homogeneity of the nation. This nation, why do you think Romney got elected? Some people make very, very light of 2-0, 2-white, and 2-male. I don't make light of that.
Well, then, you know, Joe, at some point in time, and I think it's too late, that you need to start kicking immigrants
out. You do what? I didn't hear you.
And I think it's too late. I think you should start expelling these immigrants.
Well, we should, but they're not going to because the Democrat Party, they want to be elected. They're being elected on promises of, you can't make it.
Now, how are you going to spoil somebody who owns most of the businesses in your country? Come on, man.
Yeah, but, Joe, that's a false premise because if you're illegal, ipso facto, you can't vote. So unless they're committing voter fraud, you know, this is a farce because they are not contributing to the legal voting bloc. That is the illegals. Well, they
some
are
of them,
black,
some of them
and there
do,
have been many studies that have shown that the illegals, now they like to talk about they're adding to the economy. No, they're a net drain on the economy, because if you look at the subsidies they are getting in terms of welfare, in terms of they're going to schools,
hospital
they're
services.
They're overtaxing city services,
mm-hmm.
and that's so. And the jails, by the way, mm-hmm. when you look at the net equation of what immigrants bring, and in terms of what they take away from the country, it's a net drain.
That's
no,
what I'm
no,
talking
no
about.
No argument about it.
The natural resources. Think about how many illegals. Just illegals. Forget about the legal immigrants. How about how many illegals have to take a shower every day, have to go to the bathroom every day, have to drink water every day. They go to the emergency room for a freaking headache. How many?
Tell me about it. We have lost our best trauma centers in California as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No. Go. I thought you were going to continue.
Well, no, I thought you were making the point. The point is they are not a net benefit to the country. But now their argument is, I'm going back to the gist of their argument. Their argument is their land was stolen and they want it back. Now, that's a separate argument from them coming here and parasiting off of the taxpayers.
But you know what? I'm going to make an assumption that those who are in California who are protesting about the, you know, we want our land back, they probably wouldn't even have known that if they hadn't gone to an associate, to a community college funded by the state. They would have just said, they wouldn't have learned anything like that in school, and they would have just gone on, you know, to do whatever they want to do. But now that they've learned it, the colleges have been taken over, the liberal arts colleges in particular. How do you think we got the neo-feminism? Okay, how do you think we got the liberalism of today? Do you know that there's a guy named Wayne Root? He ran as a libertarian candidate in this past election. He was in the same classroom as Obama back, when was it, 93, when he was over at Columbia. He said they were teaching almost openly communist propaganda in Columbia, in New York City. So we've got a lot of people who have the Aries type of, you know, the guy that was in the Weatherman, the Aries. I think I'm pronouncing his name properly, Aries. The guy, his philosophy that capitalism is evil, America is imperialistic, which it is, but capitalism is not evil. So we have all these anti-American concepts floating around our country. No wonder we're in the shit we're in today.
Well, you know, Joe, if people can say that people can say that's an oversensitivization because, you know, blacks had to fight to have black history taught in schools.
Well, let me just say this. If you look at Mexico, the way Mexico guards its borders, I mean, it is total hypocrisy. Mexico would never allow. I mean, they will throw your ass in jail if you violate their borders.
Yeah.
And we know that because people from other Central American countries come through Mexico. And it is a serious offense to enter Mexico illegally. Serious offense.
Well, it should be. It should be for every country. Anybody who crosses the border, and the argument that I hear all the time, well, they're here to gain a better living. Well, of course, no shit. But they're international burglars. When you cross a border's country, a nation's borders, you are violating their particular space. Now, I'm a libertarian.
Sovereign.
I'm a libertarian, but other libertarians feel, well, the border should be open. Are you out of your freaking mind? Open? You wanted them open to people like Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong and people like Bush and what's his name? Obama? I don't think so.
Well, let me ask you a question. The way we see U.S. drones going after Taliban leaders, do you think that somebody has a right to go after
I think
one
you
of
meant
our...
Osama.
No, the you know they just supposed.
No, I'm talking to Joe. Joe said Obama. I think he meant Osama.
No, Obama.
Oh, you meant Obama? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because he's the one who's in charge of the borders.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, sure.
At what time did some foreign faction want to bring
Pakistan
the last Bush?
Pakistan should condemn the United States government to hell. Can you imagine these freaking drones killing poor kids over there in Pakistan? And the Pakistani officials, they're putting up with it. They keep coming up every once in a while with these great protests. We won't take it anymore. But they're getting billions of dollars from us. And they're going to allow their kids to be bombed for the sake of terrorism, which is a false war anyway.
Hey, let's put this great mental energy back on resolutions. How realistic are New Year's resolutions? And what are some, I think that should be something we should resolve in our individual lives, because those international issues are certainly important. But I think the average person is struggling with their personal lives. They aren't in control of.
I'm struggling with this phone.
Lord. And you're talking about everybody that's having Obama phones.
Well, that too. But, yeah, this is the thing that most Americans are struggling with are their individual lives, their financial, their health, and their relationship lives. They don't have solutions there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or resolution.
Yeah, it shows how dumb we are.
Well, yeah. But we need to get smarter, though.
Yeah.
We definitely need to get smarter.
5 minutes. I'm getting ready to head out.
Resolution.
Let's end the show.
Let's get smarter.
And let me give you congratulations formally, Ponky, on getting married. I don't think I offered you that before.
Thank you very much. I have a good relationship.
Oh, yeah, Bianchi, but I got to say, that, you know, sometimes maybe you want to explain this to us. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But your wife is in Africa, correct? Congratulations, by the way. I think it's great, but your wife is in Africa.
Well, right now she's...
You're not bringing her here, right?
Don't talk about it. The show is extended, Bianchi. Go ahead.
Meet my family, but not to say.
I'm sorry. He broke up, Eric.
To meet my family, but not to stay.
Now, Bianchi, I would like for you to be honest. Why didn't you choose? Now, I'd like for you to be honest, because you're a man who can speak to this. Why didn't you choose a woman, an American woman, or say a woman like, what's her name? You come on her show all the time.
Because a man by the name of Mr. Solution persuaded me out of it.
Tracy, that's her name. Why didn't you choose a Tracy? Do you think she'd add to your? Do you think Tracy would add to a man's life or what?
No, Tracy's a little bit on the big side for me, brother.
Hey, large in
charge. Tracy don't follow those resolutions neither.
She don't follow the resolutions either. Ain't now say I thought Tracy was a man in woman's clothing.
If she has enough mouth energy left, it would be great for her to come amongst the men.
Unfortunately, I don't know this Tracy. Yeah, it'd be nice for her to come on here.
Yeah, Joe, you would have a ball with her.
Oh, wouldn't I? Though?
Yeah, you would, Joe. Yeah, you actually would.
That's right. I think I saw you in her chat room, Eric.
Yeah, I go and listen every now and then, and I'd be like, I can't listen anymore to this.
What's the name of the show? I can go visit the show, and hopefully my service can actually call in. Cause my service.
What's the name of the show, Bianchi?
Tracy and Friends, ain't it?
Friends, yeah.
Tracy and Friends.
Yeah. 11 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, it's early.
Before your show, and I just go to that show and laugh. Because here you have all these broke-ass people solving the world's problems. They have no ability to resolve their own problems, but they're solving the problems of the world. That is just friggin' hilarious to me.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, good one. You guys are a great show, and my New Year's resolution is to listen to Eric tomorrow.
All right. Remember, Mars Friday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay, that's your last words, Mr. Solution. I'm going to go
down
the line.
That's it, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Bianchi, your last words, sir?
I'm getting ready to go to the barbershop to my friend and listen to some real talk.
Oh, Lord. All right. All right. I think I'm going to have to tase you, Pianky. Keep on. All righty. Thank you, sir. Mr. Joe?
Nah, I don't have anything to say. Take care and be healthy.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Outstanding. All righty. All right, y'all. Once again, we had another great show. I want to thank everybody that came and spoke with me, Mr. Solution Joe, Pianky, A-Nav, Supreme, Huey B, Loving Light, LT, Shasta, you know, everybody, in the chat room. Hey, I want to say once again, thank you, everybody who's listening on the lines. Now, before we get out of here, you know, I got to say my piece. Now, we opened the show talking about resolutions and, do we think that New Year's resolutions are unrealistic? And at times, yes, they are. They are definitely. I feel that, unless you sit down and really know what you want to do, and as we spoke through the show, you got the discipline, or if you have somebody help push you and motivate you, resolutions can be realistic. But don't just wait. Just wait till the end of the year to do it. Start early in the year. If you have to break the year down into quarters, do that. I'm sure you've got a whole lot more done that way if, that's the way you do it instead of just waiting till the end of the year and then try to make up everything. Hey, just something to think about. All right. Well, that's all I got for y'all today. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me. Remember tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Freedom Fund Friday. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Whatever comes to mind. We may giggle. We may fight. Who knows? We may do a little bit of both, right? Right. Also, if you want to listen, you want to send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or hit me up on Facebook at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. And, just leave me a line and we can have everything going on there also. Okay, well, until tomorrow night, y'all, have a good one. Enjoy yourself. I appreciate you. And remember, hey, always give that special someone a hug and a kiss and tell them you appreciate them because you never, never know. You never, never know when they may not be there. Okay? Just do that for me. Until then, hey, y'all have a good one. See you tomorrow night. I'm out of here. Talk, let's talk. Let's talk.